Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for jumping on Wealth Protector TV. Really excited to have my colleague here, Renee Decker, who's a top attorney with our firm, Barth Calderon. We're an asset protection, estate planning, and business planning firm. And we're going to jump right into this topic of what you need to do when it comes to estate planning after a divorce. We all know there's a lot of divorce going on. Renee, what do we need to know?
Yeah. So, you know, getting a divorce can be an emotional time and obviously a time where you got to take care of a lot of different things, but it's super important to be thinking about those estate planning matters that you got to take care of. And so I'm going to go through five different things that you want to think about for estate planning purposes after a divorce. So
wonderful.
Yeah. So the first big one is just taking a look at those documents that you've already got in place. So we'll start with the will and trust documents that you may have used to as the foundation of your planning. And
yeah.
If you have a will, it's likely that you may have named your ex-spouse as either the personal representative or the executor of your estate, depending on what your estate calls it. So as you can imagine, after a divorce, a lot of people don't want that ex-spouse to still serve in that role.
Right.
It's really important that you pull that will back out and say, okay, who did I name in it? And now, you know, obviously things have changed. I need to get that updated and really put some consideration into thinking about, well, now that you don't have a spouse to do it, who do you want to do it for you? And the flip side of that is kind of true too, right? A lot of people actually don't do planning because they think, well, I'm married, so if something happens to me, my spouse will take care of everything. Even though that's not, you know, even that's not true in all circumstances, it's still important to have planning in place when you are married. It's really important to have that planning in place now that you're no longer married because you don't have that spouse to step in and do that for you. So even if you don't have a will in place, it's really important now to think about who you want that person to be to step forward and take care of things when you're not here anymore.
And a quick question, Renee, is what if a divorce takes 2 years and you have this planning in place before the divorce, now the divorce is taken, whatever it's taken, you don't want to have your old documents in place while you're going through the divorce, right? Because what if something happens to you, the documents kick in, you're like, oh, you're divorcing this person over here. You can't stand, but now they're still the one responsible for you. So can you do some things like to at least stop the old planning while you're, you know, doing this?
Yeah, absolutely. And so as you're going through the process of getting the divorce and you know that it's happening and you know that it's coming up, it's a great time to be thinking about going ahead and making those changes. And it's really important that you're talking to both your estate planning attorney about that and your family law attorney about that, because there's some things that you might not be able to fully change when you're just in the beginning part of that process. But like you said, you know, even if you're just in the beginning part, you probably wouldn't want that person, that ex-spouse or that soon-to-be ex-spouse, to be the person that's in charge of, you know, probating your assets if that's necessary, or even serving as a successor trustee to your trust if that becomes necessary. So,
Good.
Yeah, and so the second part of that is making sure if you do have trust planning in place, that you're pulling out that trust document and taking a look at that, because that document is usually where everything's a little bit more entwined with your spouse, right? Because if you've done that revocable living trust planning, then you know you've got the trust and you've got a lot of assets that are named in the name of that trust. And so now we got to think about, you know, getting that revocable living trust revoked, and then what are we going to put in place of the revoked revocable living trust? And then, you know, changing the titling of all the assets that you moved over into that trust so that it reflects, you know, the new situation and how you want things to go in the new reality.
Yeah, because obviously you have a whole new life going on. I mean, the difference between a married couple and a single person, obviously the kids, but just everything for your financial planning, your, you know, the estate and who's responsible for medical directives, all that. So yeah, I can see the trust thing, really big deal.
Yeah, huge deal. And it can cause some really difficulties on down the line if we don't get it taken care of, you know, as a part of this planning for your new life. Because let's say, even if you go through the process of revoking the trust, what happens to those assets if you haven't retitled the assets into the name of a new trust, or, you know, your own individual name, if that's what you need to do in the interim? It can really cause some headache for someone who's trying to administer it after something happens to you, or even during your incapacity.
Excellent. So number three is?
Yeah, so that was kind of number one, wrapped all in one. So the number two is, because we want to think about the number one is really, we want to think about that will and that trust. So that's really who's going to serve in those successor roles to you, and who's, and where are those assets going, right? Because if your trust says all those assets are going to your ex-spouse, you probably don't want that to happen. So we got to get that updated. So the second part of that, number two, really is making sure the rest of your assets that aren't in the trust are taken care of. So that's updating your beneficiary designation.
Okay.
So, you know, you have retirement accounts, or you have, you know, annuities, things like that, life insurance policies. You may have named your spouse, or soon to be your ex-spouse, or soon to be ex-spouse, as a beneficiary on all of those. And, you know, given your new reality, that you probably want to make sure that those are changed as well. And it can cause real problems if you just forget. And that's most of the time what happens, right? People just don't think about it, and they forget about those assets. But, you know, not taking action to change those can lead to a situation where your ex-spouse is getting, you know, that asset. And I've seen it happen, you know, a bunch of times to people.
Yeah, because certain assets pass by contract, right, versus your living trust. And so, all those things you mentioned, life insurance, bank accounts, you know, brokerage accounts, IRAs, Roths. Yeah, it's a great point. A lot of people forget about that. Okay, excellent.
And, you know, so in some cases, the whatever institution has that contract in place has sort of kind of planned for that contingency. But in a lot of cases, they haven't planned for that contingency. So you're just sort of at the mercy of the institution, who will be under a legal obligation to give that asset to whoever you've designated to receive it. So,
excellent. Okay. I think we're on to number three now.
Now we're on number three. So number three, and this one's especially important if you have minor children. It's also important even if you have older children. So planning for your children's future. Mm-hmm. And so, so, you know, you're planning for your children's future on two fronts, right? If they're minor, you're planning for their financial future, whether they're minors or they're not minors. And so you have to think about who it is you want to be in charge of helping them manage their assets, at least any assets that they are to receive from you, in the event that you're no longer around. And so, you know, you're thinking about who is going to be the successor trustee of your own trust, now that we've redone the trust for you. And you're also thinking about who is going to be there to serve as sort of that guardian role that's managing the finances for your children if you're not able to do that while they're minors. And that's in addition to who's going to manage physical custody of them, right? So who are they going to live with? Who are they going to, who's going to be the ones taking them to sports events, or, you know, getting them to all their extracurriculars? And a lot of times people think, well, my spouse has the automatic right to do that, so I don't need to do any planning. And it is true that that your spouse would have a right to do that. But there's also some planning that we can do to make it, you know, known what your wishes are, especially if you want your kids to still have access to your own family, to your parents or your siblings or whatever the case may be. There's some planning we can do to make sure that you know, a judge would know that if it came down to that situation.
Yeah, because there are circumstances in life where your ex-spouse gets remarried and, you know, there's some complication there. And, or maybe your ex-spouse, you know, their career is horrible. And, you know, are they even capable of, you know, affording the kids? You know, so there's a lot of things to think about there, which you bring to light.
And even now you can, I mean, so there's like, there kind of an extreme situation where you really wouldn't want the ex-spouse to have custody over them at all. And maybe he or she doesn't even have custody over them now. So we've got to plan for that. Right. And then there's even the less extreme situations where if you're going through a divorce, maybe your ex-spouse and, you know, your parents or your siblings don't get along very well. So what would happen if something happened to you? Would your ex-spouse give your kids access to those people? And so there's some things that we can do to try to make sure that they always have the ability to have a relationship with your kids, yeah, even if you're not around.
Very important. Okay, moving along. Where are we? We're at number four.
We're at number four. Yeah. So number four is really about that incapacity planning. So we talked about that, you know, what happens if you pass away planning with your will and your trust. But now we need to think about what happens if you don't have the capacity to make some of these decisions for yourself. And, you know, this one really gets a lot of people that are going through a divorce and have never done planning at all. Because a lot of times if they haven't done planning, they think, okay, well, if I can't manage my financial affairs, or if I can't make healthcare decisions for myself, you know, my spouse will do it. Well, now we don't have that spouse role anymore. And so it's really important that we get some planning documents in place, because now we don't have that person who has the greater legal authority to come in and help you make those decisions. You'd really most likely be subject to a state guardianship proceeding, and nobody wants that because it's costly, right, time consuming, and the reporting obligations are really hefty. So really important to think about doing that incapacity plan.
Very good. Very good. Love it. Number five.
Yeah. Number five is take steps to protect your privacy. So especially if you're going through a contentious divorce and it's been public and all of that, you may have some privacy concerns that you want to take into consideration. And so through trust-based planning, we can sort of keep your assets, what you have, and all of that more private than you can with just everything in your individual name. So that's all public record.
Right. No, that's a great thought, because we all know wills are public and living trusts are not. You know, it's just not open up to the public. So your comment of, you know, even when you're going through a divorce, contentious, and, you know, keep it off the radar. Love it.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's that whole thing about planning for your digital assets too. Right. And, you know, there's some obvious privacy concerns around that, and making sure your passwords are changed and, you know, you've taken your accounts off of any shared computers or any of those kinds of things that might leave access to somebody else.
Yep. Love it. Okay. Here we are. Number six, the bell's going off. What's number six?
So number six is really just making sure that you have taken a comprehensive approach to your estate planning. So we talk about all these individual pieces, but really it's about sitting down with somebody, an attorney, a trusted advisor who can make sure that, you know, you've got a holistic picture of what you want things to look like if you become incapacitated, and what you want things to look like if you passed away. And especially if you have minor kids, we can develop sort of that whole picture of what you want things to look like for your kids. But we got to do that by taking, you know, all of these pieces into consideration. And the best way to do that is to talk to somebody who can guide you through all these different steps.
No, love it. And Renee, I've heard you mention before the analogy, which is great. And obviously divorce is a trigger event for getting your planning, you know, right. We know still a lot of Americans don't have any planning in place at all. And those who do, you know, it's old, outdated, it wasn't done right. And then life happens and the planning falls apart. And, you know, there's emotional and financial pain that's involved when that happens. But I've heard you make the analogy before that your estate planning is really, you know, it's you're the director of your own play, right? And you either can jump in there and direct the play, which is your life, your assets, people going on, or you can let the government do it for you by not making a decision. Because as you said, estate planning is an inevitability in life. It's going to happen to all of us. So either you choose to control it or not. And there's a lot of pain if you decide not to jump in. And so having divorce as a trigger event, that, gosh, okay, you know, this is the time for sure to get it done. So anyways, I like the way you bring that up.
Yeah. And it's so important, Paul, what you said about, you know, you can either jump in and play, or the state's got a plan for you, the government's got a plan for you. Yeah. So jumping in and playing, some people think they jump in and play once, And then that's it, they're done. So the divorce can remind people that you gotta jump in throughout your lifetime and get a handle on that. And it's really important during a time of divorce, but it's important to keep all of your life changes top of mind. Because if you've jumped in and played once, that's great. But if you don't jump in and play regularly, then it can be even worse because you think you have this plan in place that's going to work for your family when they need it to. And things have changed, your life has changed, the laws have changed. And this sort of peace of mind that you've wrapped yourself up in isn't, you shouldn't have been wrapping yourself up in because it doesn't work out the way that you wanted it to. So just like, you're playing any sport, then you got to play it all the way through. It's important to keep these estate planning top of mind when your life changes. And every few years, make sure you're staying abreast of all the law changes.
I love it. I love it. And it's interesting. I was reading not too long ago about Marilyn Monroe, an interesting estate planning case. And obviously, the famous people, everyone pays attention, but she was married several times, didn't have proper planning in place. And the dress she wore when she sang Happy Birthday to JFK, which is a big deal, but that dress worth a lot of money ended up in the hands of some guy she was married to for a short period of time, lost connection. And I think he put the dress on eBay or something to sell it, at one point. So it was just an example of, unintended consequences that can happen when you don't have your plan together. Obviously, you can get a lot more serious if you're, divorced, your planning's not right, and there's stepkids and assets end up going to stepkids that aren't yours. I mean, it can get messy. So this is great, Renee. And I want to say to everybody that's listening, because we stream this everywhere, wherever you're watching this, we YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever, Renee's information is going to be around this event. And Renee, I know you have a complimentary planning assessment that you're happy to do for anybody. So you can click on the links around here, get connected one-on-one with Renee. She'll listen to what you have going on. Renee, I know you want to comment on that or just how you work that.
Yeah, sure. So it's a great opportunity to just kind of take a look at what we've been talking about today or what I've talked about in the past and see how it applies to your situation. So it really is, these things are educational and we give you a lot of information to think about. But through that free consultation, we can really apply it to the specific situation in your life so you know what it looks like for you.
Great. Love it. Renee, thank you. We're going to have you back, of course. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Sing it loud.